Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. In this module, we'll talk about load balancing in general, then more specifically, the Azure load balancer, and then the internal load balancer. So let's start in general terms. What is a load balancer? Well, the goal of a load balancer is to spread requests across two or more servers so that incoming requests don't pile up and the response time doesn't increase. So there are many different algorithms that can be used to distribute traffic in between two or more servers that are hosting essentially the same application or the same service, whether it be for a website or for a web API or a database or whatever the case might be. And there are different algorithms used by different vendors, but Azure uses a simple random distribution of traffic to virtual machines. Now, this random distribution of traffic won't necessarily distribute the load evenly because it could randomly distribute some requests that are more processor intensive by chance to a single server in the grouping of servers that are available, but over time it probably would all equal out. So to accomplish this distribution, a load balancer will distribute traffic between multiple servers that host the same resource. Again, two or more virtual machines that serve up one of the tiers of an application. Web servers, middle tier servers, web API servers, database servers, that sort of thing. Now, more specifically, with regards to the Azure load balancer, you would distribute traffic to different virtual machines inside the same load balanced set. Now, a load balanced set is a set of two or more machines, virtual machines, that the Azure load balancer will distribute traffic to randomly. Now, you might say, well, that sounds a lot like availability sets, and you'd be partially right. The intent is different, but the idea is similar. In an availability set, you're grouping virtual machines in order to protect against downtime due to planned or unplanned maintenance events. So if a planned maintenance event happens, then there might be some rebooting of servers to take advantage of updates, but it won't reboot all of the servers at the same time. So the traffic would be distributed to those that are up and running and waiting for the other one to come back online. So that's availability sets. But in a load balance set, you're grouping virtual machines to improve resiliency and hopefully to improve response time. So again, the intent is different between availability sets and load balance sets. Now, honestly, I think you're going to probably wind up creating load balance sets of internal load balance sets along your availability set boundaries. In other words, you would have perhaps three servers in an availability set. You're probably going to have those same three servers in a load balance set. Maybe not. I'm no expert, but it seems like they're two sides of the same coin. You probably want to group them together for both purposes. All right, so a moment ago I said that traffic is distributed randomly, but it can also actually be configured to something called source IP affinity, or in other words, stickiness. So a given client, once it's been handled by one virtual machine, any future requests made by that client would be routed back to that same virtual machine. And so if there was some state that needed to be saved, some session state in memory, it could always be routed back from that particular client back to that same web server hosted on a virtual machine. And while that's possible, designing applications around this is probably not a good idea in my opinion. Any state or session state or whatever the case might be that's required by an application should be saved to some neutral storage area so that any instance of that application service, any virtual machine hosting internet information services, for example, would be able to handle any incoming request. But that's just my opinion, and I'm digressing, so let's move on. Let's talk about the three different ways that we have that load balancing happens in Microsoft Azure. So there is load balancing at the DNS level using Traffic Manager. Now, we've already used Traffic Manager in the course entitled Websites, and we saw how it worked. We had a website in Western Europe and the same website hosted in a website in the East US. Then we sent a request from somewhere in the United States, and we were served up the East US version. Then we logged into a virtual machine over in Europe, and we requested the same web page, but we were routed to the Western Europe version of the website. So the traffic manager looked at the incoming request, and it used some DNS trickery to push that incoming request to the geographically closest host for that website request. So that again is load balancing at the DNS level using Traffic Manager. We're not going to go into it anymore in this series because we've already looked into it. But there's also load balancing at the network level via the Azure Load Balancer. And so the Azure Load Balancer distributes traffic from outside of Azure to virtual machines inside of Azure. And so in this scenario, we might have a series of virtual machines that serve up a website. They all are hosting Internet Information Services. They're all hosting the same code base. And so as incoming requests come into the load balancer, it will distribute that load across the various virtual machines. And then finally, there's network level load balancing via an internal load balancer. And so this is similar to the Azure Load Balancer, but it's actually a different mechanism. It distributes requests that come from inside of Azure between virtual machines that are also inside of Azure, or between cloud services in the same virtual network with VMs in the same cloud service that are also part of that virtual network. Again, that's kind of a advanced case. But at any rate, let's maybe look at a few examples. If you see in this first slide, here is a very simple case where a request for a website comes in over port 80, and the Azure Load Balancer handles it and it passes it on to one of several virtual machines that are configured with the same code base. All right, and so this again is great for distributing load and making sure that one virtual machine is not handling all the requests, and therefore hopefully speeding up and making everything a little bit more snappy, because nobody has to handle the full load, the full brunt of incoming requests. Now in the second scenario, things get a little bit more interesting. Here we have a request that comes over SSL, so port 443. And you can see that it gets routed to one of three virtual machines here that are called the web tier. And then because that particular code base requires some access to SQL Server, it makes a request over port 1433 to an internal load balancer, which distributes that request to a virtual machine that's hosting SQL Server, the database tier there at the bottom, so that any incoming request won't block other incoming requests that can just be pushed randomly to the various virtual machines that also host SQL Server and are serving up that same data. All right, so here's just a variation on this idea where we have an on-premise network that's connecting through a VPN connection into a virtual network. And you can see this little kind of angle bracket, ... boundary, that just means it's a virtual network. And then inside of that, there's another boundary, ... around the line of business servers with a little cloud with two gears in it. That's called the cloud service boundary. We'll talk about cloud services and how they relate to virtual machines soon. But at any rate, you can see a request comes in from a client that's on an on-premise network, and through the magic of VPN comes into a virtual network. And that traffic gets routed not to the Azure Load Balancer, but rather to the internal load balancer, which distributes the request to those virtual machines that are internal in Azure. All right, and then this final scenario is even more advanced. It's pretty much the same. It's a combination of the two that we've already looked at, where connections can either come from a client on premise or from somebody out on the internet. But either way, the requests are going to be routed either through the load balancer if they're coming in for a web request, or a system administrator sitting inside of a company may want to administer the SQL Server, so they would hit it through SQL Server Management Studio, which gets routed into the internal load balancer and passed to one of the instances that virtual machines that are handling requests, handling SQL Server requests. Okay. In the next module, we'll take a moment and we'll examine how to actually set up a load balance set, and we'll talk about how you do it for both just the Azure load balancer as well as the internal load balancer. But I think from a conceptual perspective, we've talked about everything we need to in this module. So hopefully you can see the important role that the load balancers play in accepting traffic, whether from the internet or from other virtual machines inside of the Azure data center, and routing it to the appropriate virtual machine, a healthy virtual machine, to improve the resiliency of the applications that reside on those virtual machines. We also talked about creating load balance sets and more. So that pretty much wraps up what we wanted to say conceptually about load balancing in Azure. Let's see how we set it up, how we create a load balance set in Azure in the very next lesson. We'll see you there.